The name of the talk is How Do You Spell Father? And part of it is that Father is an acronym. That one of the blessings of a really great father and a spiritualized father takes on these elements, and we will talk about them a little bit later. F stands for forgiving. For some of the best fathers, no matter what you have done, are forgiving, right? My father really wasn't in my life, so I go to my grandfathers, my grandfather and my great-grandfather, and woo! Maybe it was elderliness, I don't know. But they were loving and forgiving of all of my mishaps and my brothers. A means that they wear the, I'm getting very Christian here, the armor of God. And the armor of God is that they are also loving protectors of their family. That the T is that some of the best spiritualized fathers are great teachers, yes? Not only forgiving and patient, but they're teachers. They teach us wonderful life lessons. And the H, as well as being teachers, they're helpers at all time. I know that any time I needed assistance, my mother's father was always right there with a kind word or a helping hand, helping money sometimes. I love his memory and all the things he did, even the noogies he used to give me and call me Rockhead. I think all of you guys who know me now understand why he calls me Rockhead, because I was a little stubborn. E is for everlasting, the everlasting love of a father that is here, or for those of you whose fathers have passed, the memory is always everlasting within you. And R is for respected. Some of the best fathers are loved and respected. Now, there's a story that I want to share with you about two young boys in 1918 from England. And predominantly, this is about a young boy who was a farmer. He was a poor farmer, and one day he was tilling the land. He had his mule and the plow, and at that time, you know, you had to have it wasn't a truck. You know, you had to hold the thing. It was hard work, and this young boy was doing it. And in the distance, by the river, he could hear this other boy playing. And the child was frolicking and laughing and was just making a lot of noise. And the farmer was enjoying the noise. And then all of a sudden, this joyful noise shifted. And all of a sudden, the farmer boy could hear cries out, "Help me! Help me, please! I'm drowning! Help me!" And without further ado, the farmer boy leapt from his position, put his plow down, and ran to the river to aid this young child. And as he got there, he leapt into the river, pulled the child out, and put him onto dry land and revived him. The boy was well. He went off to live, and the farmer boy went back to his duties. A year later, the farmer boy was still doing his chores. A year later, he was back plowing around the same time. And while he was doing his plow, a man and his son came up to him. It was a father and a son. And the father tapped the farmer boy on his shoulder, and the farmer boy looked, and the man said, "Are you the farmer boy who saved my son's life a year ago?" And the farmer boy said, "Yeah, but it's, you know, it's no big deal. I was just there. Anyone else who was there, they would have done the same thing. It was nothing. It was me, yeah, but yeah, nothing." And the man said to him, "If you had money, if you had all the money in the world, what would you want your life to be?" And the young farmer boy, who was poor, only lived off the land, he said, "Well, that's an impossible thought. My family's too poor for my dream." And the man said, "Just tell me." And the boy smiled. He said, "I would love to become a doctor." Because in this town and where we live, there's so many people who get sick, and because they're so poor, they die. I would love not only to be a doctor, but I would love to be able to research and find out cures for ailments so that people have easy, free, and cheap remedies to save their lives. And the father said, you know what? You will be a doctor. If you want to be a doctor, I will make sure that you get through school. If that is your wish, I have the means and I will make it happen. So many years later, something big is going to happen. And it is in February 11th, 1945, when the big three, Roosevelt, Churchill, and Stalin, are coming together for their summit. They're coming together to heal the world. And just before Churchill is supposed to leave for this, he falls deathly ill. It seems like everything is about to fall apart. Here is the hopes of these three powerhouses coming together and agreeing that world peace can happen. Well, this miracle drug was shipped to Churchill, this thing called penicillin. And after Churchill took it, the next day he was revived, he was healed. And it was that moment in time that we found out that a one Alexander Fleming saved the life of Winston Churchill for the second time. If it weren't for the love of a father for his son and the respect that he had for the young boy who saved his life and the wanting to give a new life to this man, many of us would not be living. Churchill would not be living. Penicillin has saved countless people. And it has gone on for other research to evolve other medicines. And so as we're talking about Father's Day today, I'm asking you to look at, no matter if you have the best father of the world, or if you're similar to me, that you had a father who was negligent, but you still had a father figure. Think about what that father figure had. I was lucky to have my mother's father and my father's grandfather, my great-grandfather, to be wonderful male supports for me that made me feel pretty much like I didn't need my father. Thank God I am having healed relationships with him now. But think about the good thoughts of the father figures. What did they bring into your life? What godly presence have they been for you? What I enjoy about men today, and I'm old enough to have seen the miracle of when men used to be real men, you know, the John Wayne type. You know, you didn't show your feelings. If something was wrong, you didn't talk to your significant others. Now we can say significant others. You didn't talk to another man. You just pat on the back. You might chew some tobacco, spit some stuff out. Carol. She doesn't want to see that, which is why I'm teasing her right now. She's covering her mouth and covering, like, do we need to give you a trash can? Okay. And the only way they would show emotion or feelings would be to go out with their shotgun or their something, their flamethrower, whatever it is, something violent to get rid of that emotion, because men aren't supposed to show emotion. Reverend Roger, did you want to add something to that? No, your are always welcomed. I actually, to sidestep a little bit, thought that Roger was going to say, yeah, like a real man, because I know that Roger is really the epitome of a great father in these days, someone who can feel his emotions, show love to his children. So I was a little surprised when he was like, yeah, that's my flamethrower and me are like, yeah, baby, yeah. Because I'll continue to use Roger as the example. I mean, I truly do love the fact that I've been in the place where I did see those Western cowboys. I grew up with men supposedly being men, and to see the evolution of how fathers now can be loving. They aren't the silent type anymore. Probably because I didn't have this for my father, it brings a tear to my eye every time I'm at a supermarket or somewhere where a father is taking care of their son or daughter, their child. It's just them and their children. They're hugging and loving, talking loving things to them. The child is talking to them. They're talking back. Wow. Men, you should feel so blessed to be out of those chains and shackles and be able to be thankful, to be able to be evolved in a place where even though you can show your emotions, you can still be considered a man. Because I really do think that that is today a real father. The fathers of yesterday that were those things that were silent, that they didn't do anything, everything was left to the woman, I think those men were left behind. Because it's really, if we're talking about a godly father, we're using the example of Jesus. That was the beauty, and that's the separation between the Old Testament and the New Testament Jesus. Well, I mean, Jesus wasn't in the Old Testament, but the concept of the Christ in the Old Testament, or God, and the concept of God in the New Testament Jesus brought. Jesus brought to us this idea of a father that wasn't stern like the Old Testament, that if we got out of line, we would be punished. You'd be smacked up, we'd have locusts, we'd have all this other stuff coming at us because we were bad, bad children. Jesus taught us a different way, and it's beautiful how men have also evolved into this vision of God. Jesus taught us that God is loving. Every time Jesus needed help, who did he go to? Father. Father, I need to talk to you. Father, I need your protection. Father, I need your love. Father, guide me. Jesus had respect. God was a teacher. God is a guide. God is everything. And Jesus, that's the beautiful story of a father that Jesus brought. And I am so thankful that it is this type of real man that men can be right now. And if you haven't evolved to that, I invite you to release the shackles of all of that and enjoy being a whole person, balanced in your testosterone and your estrogen. Yes, I said it, because we all have to be balanced in that. Allow the God self, the Father component of God, to really come forward in you, just as Jesus said God is to him, peaceful, loving, prosperous, abundant, caring, teacher, guide. It wouldn't surprise you, though. I found this surprising. I'm going to read this off because I'm like, oh, my kid, just to remember this. Did you know that Father's Day was not really sanctioned as a holiday until 1974, I believe it was? So let me read you the poem that kind of started this. It's a teenager from Denver, Colorado, wrote about her dad. Without a dad, where would we be? Would our red kite still be in the tree? Without a dad, the roof might leak, the gate might get rusty, and the lawnmower squeak. Who would fix the car in a bad snowstorm while we sit in a gas station where it's warm? Who would beat the Nintendo at chess every night? And who would pick out the best empty site, camping site? Who would work 8 hours a day and then stand in the line to get his pay? For love and kindness, none best our dad, who stands by us through happy and sad. If your dad is far away or close to you, there is one thing you can do on this special day. Show him love in your special way. So the story is about a man by the name of William Jackson Smart. And he was the man that the whole Father's Day celebration is for. He was originally a Civil War veteran who made great sacrifices to raise one daughter and five sons. And so it's said that the one daughter, Miss Sonora Smart Dodd, decided that they should have an observance for fathers. And so this was in 1914, but Congress kind of said that, no, real men at that time, they need to pony up. We don't need no freaking Father's Day. That isn't a manly thing to do. So it really wasn't until 1972 when Richard Nixon, of all people, My apologies. No. Here on the sanctuary stage, I'm Switzerland. My apology. It wasn't until 1972 when Richard Nixon signed into law. Until that time, there was no National Father's Day. So, yeah, I was surprised at that story as well. So to end this, let's go back to father figure, uncle, whatever it is. How do you spell father? You see someone who is forgiving, again, like our Heavenly Father. Actually, you know, let me put that back in my mouth, because our Heavenly Father doesn't need to forgive us, because there's usually nothing, there is never ever anything that we have done wrong to the love of our Father. But here on earth, our fathers are forever forgiving in the same way. Honey, no need for forgiveness. They are our protectors. They are the armor of God. They are our teachers, just like God was the teacher to Jesus, like God is the teacher to all of us. That is the truth of the man, whether it was your actual father, your birth father, your adopted father, your foster father, or someone who is just a father figure. H is for a helper in your time of need. E is for that everlasting memory that you will have of the good times, whether they're alive or now deceased. And R is for those men who have earned your respect, those men who have loved you up, who've sat you down, have picked you up when you're crying and said, you're all right, you can do it. Those good men. So we thank all of you dads who have been great men and have truly been the example of our Father God. With that, let us have we only have an affirmation today, and it's the same affirmation that is from our daily word. And it is, I honor all father figures in my life. Let's say that together. I honor all father figures in my life. And let me say, I honor each and every one of you. God bless you. Amen.